The trial of Zacharias Moussaoui is in recess today, and the jury was absent while Judge Leonie Brinkema held a hearing following yesterday's disclosure that a federal attorney had used trial transcripts to coach upcoming witnesses. The revelation is not only deeply embarrassing for the government, which is looking for the death penalty for Mr. Moussaoui, it may also mean that the punishment they seek will be taken off the table by the judge. Joining us to explain the legal background to this and its implications is Carl Tobias, the Williams Professor at the University of Richmond Law School. He joins us on the phone from his office in Richmond, Virginia. Very good of you to be with us today.
My pleasure.
Do communications between lawyers and witnesses violate, I understand in this case they may violate a specific court order?
Yes, that's true. Of course, you can talk to witnesses, but the problem here is the judge had a very clear and specific order that said there should be no communication of these transcripts of what had gone on earlier or communication between witnesses and any kind of coaching of the witnesses mm-hmm. themselves.
Now, I understand some of these witnesses were prosecution witnesses, but some of them were also defense witnesses. Is it appropriate for a government attorney to get in contact with defense witnesses under any circumstances?
Probably not. And the defense witnesses, it's interesting, even though they're government employees,
right,
are being called on behalf of the defense to help the defense defend its case.
And there was also a question that was raised alleged witness tampering, I guess, and that involved a question that one of the prosecutors put to a witness during the case, a question which the judge said might violate Mr. Moussaoui's constitutional rights.
Yes. Late last week, there was questioning of one of the FBI agents by the assistant U.S. attorney, and the question had to do with whether Mr. Moussaoui should have come forward with certain information, and it implied that he should have done that, though he had a constitutional right under the Fifth Amendment to remain silent. And so she felt that that implication was improper.
Mm-hmm. Now, in the second case, certainly the contacting the witnesses, the government has confessed that this is an egregious error, and they've even proposed some remedies. They said, look, we can agree not to cross-examine a couple of witnesses. We can make up for this.
Hello?
Yes?
Yes.
They've said that they could adjust their questioning of some of these witnesses to make up for this fact. Is that likely to fly before the judge?
Well, I think that's what the judge is trying to explore today. All seven witnesses are before her, and she, I think, is trying to sort out whether there is a fair way to proceed with some or all of these witnesses and have the trial go forward.
And, in fact, I think we're just getting word from news services that the federal judge, Judge Brinkema, said the trial will go forward, but without aviation testimony and evidence considered key to the U.S. government's case. The prosecutors had said if these people don't testify, they're half their case.
Well, that's right. I heard they had said 50% of their case, and so that may make it much more difficult to prove the case.
Mm-hmm. So that's, in effect, if you commit a procedural crime like this, there's going to be punishment.
Well, that's part of it. But I think the judge is being extraordinarily careful to try to weigh out all of the relevant interest. And when you have the ultimate penalty of the death penalty, I believe that she feels she must be extraordinarily careful in protecting all of the relevant interests.
And the defense in this case for Mr. Moussaoui has been saying all along, look, once this has happened, you can't unring the bell, even if these witnesses come in and say, oh, my testimony wouldn't have been affected anyway. It's inevitable that it would have been affected.
Well, yes, that's a very serious concern. And I think the judge is balancing that off against losing all of the careful work that she and all the lawyers and everyone involved has done in trying to have a fair proceeding, you know, sorting through 500 potential jurors mm-hmm. and having the case go forward. It would be unfortunate, I think, she feels, to have to start all over.
Mm-hmm. One other question, and that involves the lawyer who made this mistake and emailed these transcripts and to the witnesses coming up. She was not brought in front of the judge today because she had not had time yet to get a lawyer for herself. What penalties might she face?
Well, the judge probably has a large range of sanctions that could be imposed. And as you suggested, the government itself has said, the U.S. Attorney's Office has said to the judge that this was a grave error. And so the judge may well impose some stiff penalties on this particular lawyer.
Which could include contempt of court?
Oh, yes. And it could be a criminal violation, and I doubt that she would go to jail, but it could be a large fine. She could be perhaps go before bar disciplinary proceedings, that type of thing.
Carl Tobias, thanks very much.
My pleasure.
Carl Tobias, a professor at the University of Richmond School of Law, and he joined us today from his office in Richmond, Virginia.